Hello and welcome to episode 7 of the V2 Academy. I'm Chris Lappin, and join me this week, I've got Peter Prickett. How are you doing, Stephen, Peter?
Very good, thanks. Good evening, everyone.
So shortly we'll be joined by former Arsenal trainee and current Leyton Orient Academy coach Omar Reza. So before that, we're going to quickly discuss, at what age should winning become the focus?
It seems like once the football season starts, every Sunday evening, there's people raging about those who've posted score lines.
Yeah.
Those who think there's nothing wrong with it. And with the younger ages, I absolutely have no problem that they shouldn't be doing it, I think. But at what point does that change? I've got under-16s players now. We had a rare big victory at the weekend. And there was a part of me that was thinking, should I change this? Should I be helping the other team now? Should I be offering them a player? Should I be doing everything I can to even this game out? And I did make changes to my team. I didn't offer them any players. I didn't take anyone off from my team. I kept it 11 players on the pitch. But there was a little bit of me thinking, should I have done more? But the game finished 7-0. It could have been anything.
Yeah.
And I moved players about, people in different positions. If it had been a 15s game last season, I probably would have changed more. But my feeling was they're 16 now, or they're almost 16. So in those programmes, the documents from the German programmes, the Belgian programmes, the Dutch programme, this is the stage where they're talking about training to win.
Yeah.
So, in my case, I've looked at this season, I looked at this game, and I went, no, they're 16 now, the game is what the game is. I don't know whether that I am actually right or wrong, though. That's the thing. I'm not sure. I could be wrong, I could be doing it too early. It could still be at 17, it could still be at 18 that we start to look like this. It's where does the line begin, and where does it end?
Well, I think
and I have to admit that I'm not sure I've quite got a handle on that.
Well, I think when they get to, like, 16, they potentially could go into a first team, because you do have 6 of your players who play in the first team, so getting a winning mentality surely is a healthy thing at this at 16.
James Milner, Wayne Rooney, they debuted at 16 years of age, didn't they?
Yeah.
There's other... Jordan Ibe, I think, was 15.
Yeah, he was. Yeah.
When he made his debut. So, was he training for development, or was he training to win at 15? What was his mentality there? So, I think it's quite difficult. Maybe it does just depend on the group. Maybe it depends on where they're going, where they're at. It might be a question to ask Omar. Because if they're 16 and at an academy, is that are they caring mostly about their development, or are they training to win at that point? So, maybe the environment is the key to the question.
Yeah.
Answers on a postcard.
So we're delighted to be joined on the line by Omar Reza. How are you doing, Stephen, Omar?
Great, thank you. Yourselves?
I'm very well, thanks.
Good, thanks.
So you're a product of the Arsenal Academy. How were you spotted?
I was playing for my Sunday club back in the day, which was Chaseside Youth in South, well, not far from Southgate. I was playing, doing very well, and you know, my scout at the time was Bill Holland.
Yeah.
He watched me on a few occasions, and there was a few other lads who was at Arsenal at the time at that club, so I think they were keeping tracks of them. And it happened, you know, I was doing well and just got the opportunity to go in and have a couple of games.
So how did you find the facilities at grassroots level in the 90s compared to these days?
I think a lot has changed since the 90s. I mean, I was a full-time scholar from 96. Before then, I was obviously at Arsenal from the age of 10.
Yeah.
You know, it's a lot more structured now. I think there's a lot more pathways for players to progress, psychological, we've got the technical and tactical and then physical corners that they all think about now with the players. We're back in the day, if you like, yeah. When I was playing. I sound like an old git, but it might have been sort of thought about, but it wasn't so openly discussed, if you like.
Mm. So could you talk us through the trial process at Arsenal at the time?
The trial process at the time was, well, for me, basically, I went in and played these games against, so it was in the holidays, we'd go in and go to London Colney, which is where the first team train, and there was games against sort of county teams or strong county teams, if you like, and then we'd be put together with, or I'd play with the boys that were part of the academy. And if they liked what they saw, you'd go in and train, and I think decisions were made based on how you were performing in training and I suppose in games, and yeah, the rest was history after that, really.
So
the process wasn't really a process that I was aware of, more of a sort of an opportunity to play games and train at times for them to have a look at you, really.
Yeah. So do you remember your first day at Arsenal? If you started when you're 10.
I remember the first day I went on trial. It was, like I say, it was quite nerve-wracking. You know, I wanted to be. I knew back in the day, you know, I wanted to be a footballer from a very young age. And I'd been at other clubs. So funny enough, I was at Orient for 10 weeks before that. And they said, you know, and I trained a trial for 10 weeks. So you're as good as what we've got, but you're not better. And that was sort of heartbreaking at the age of 8, I think, if I remember. Yeah. I remember it vividly. The conversation with my dad and the coaches that were there at the time. Then I went to Watford for a short period, and I was training with the boys who were a year older because that was the age group that they had. And nothing came of that. And then, yeah, so when I went into Arsenal, it was, you know, it was a daunting time for me, but I wanted it so much, I didn't think I was going to let anything get in my way.
Yeah. You know what I mean? So can you tell us about your experience probably your first year or so at the academy?
When I went into full-time football, it was a shock to the system. I think it was a shock to all of our systems. I think, you know, at the time, I don't know, you know, we had people like my age group was sort of, you know, Paolo Van Aerts, Dave Livermore, who's assistant manager at Millwall at the moment.
Yeah.
Ashley Cole, Julian Gray, Tommy Black.
Steve Sidwell in your year.
We had a strong group, but we were all shocked, I think, because we had Tom Wally sort of came in at the time, and he came in from Watford, and he was sort of a hardcore, you know, no nonsense, be fit, work hard, sort of coach. And to be fair, he got a lot out of us. You know, I respected him a lot. It was a tough year, though. You know, we'd done a lot of running that year, our first year, and it was a shock to the system. And sometimes you question yourself, am I going to get through this? Mm. Can I get through this? Have I got the character? You know, even at 17, you're questioning yourself. But I think it was a good sort of grounding for me to really push on and press on. Some people couldn't handle it, couldn't manage it, you know, they fell by the wayside, but some of us managed to kick on and sort of go and get careers in the game.
So how intense was the training?
At the first year?
Yeah.
Or in general?
If we stick to the first year.
It was very intense, you know, we were doing a lot. I think it was the shock of having to do so much running and fitness work, because back then it was focused on sort of being very fit and being full-time and having to train every day anyway, which was a shock to the system as players, but you get used to it. And then, you know, we had to be the best.
Yeah.
You know, when you're at Arsenal, when you're at clubs like Arsenal, it's not about, you know, of course it's about development, and it probably is more so now, but then it was, you know, we are Arsenal, we are the best, and we shouldn't get beaten. And to be fair, we didn't get beaten. Very rarely we got beaten. If we did get beat, it was against teams like the Watfords or the Millwalls that would just come and really try and beat us up.
Yeah.
But it was very rare. And so we had that mentality that it's basically driven from the club that, you know, you don't lose. So it was intense. It was intense mentally. It was intense physically. But it was, you know, it was tough, but it was good.
So was there a greater focus on the technical aspects or the physical aspects? And the...
Like I say, I think the first year we definitely focused on physical with Tom Wally. He was a coach that, you know, you had to be very disciplined. You know, you had to want it and you had to work very hard.
Yeah.
That, so saying that, he taught me a lot, you know, as a striker. He taught me a lot of, you know, what I needed to do or what I needed to think about to become the best I could be. Now, the second year when we had Don Howe, we had great coaches. You know, Don Howe was there at the time. He was, you know, an England great. You know, Don Gibbons, Neil Banfield even, who's now part of the first team. Great coaches the second year as well, where we did focus on the technical side of the game, but it wasn't, there wasn't really a structure, in all honesty, back then to what we were, the methodology of what we were doing. It was sort of, you know, I think we'd go game to game, what we needed to work on, what we needed to work on as individuals to try and be the best we could be. It wasn't so much, you know, we were good individuals in a good team, and they just let us go and play, really.
So, were you aiming to be the best footballers in the country or the best runners in the country?
Well, you know, you could say that now. I mean, but things have changed along the way. I think the understanding of the physical aspects of the game, what players need, what sort of intensities, what sort of running players need now, is because, you know, more so then it was just about running and getting fit. And, you know, you get the odd comment like you just made about, you know, were we going to be, are you runners or are you footballers, which is, you know, yeah, you're correct. It's sort of the running that you do now should be based on what the needs of the game. But no, you know, it was different then, and we had to be fit. But yeah, you know, I think the game has changed now slightly, and I think it's probably changed for the better. But saying that, there is times when, you know, you just need a good blow. So we shouldn't really come away from it. We have come away from it, but not totally. You know, just every now and then you need to, if you haven't done enough, you can go and do a run just to get that system going. But in general, things have got an improved. You know, we've got the sports science involved now, which has helped massively towards the conditioning of players.
Yeah, so I mean, I was being slightly facetious with the comment, but but would you say that there is a bit, taking it back to that time, there's a little bit of justification for it, and that bit of justification is actually we didn't know any better. So at the time, that was the best method that we had for footballers and their fitness.
Well, definitely. I mean, that is, you know, you've hit the nail on the head. We wasn't aware of, we wasn't totally, you know, sports science wasn't really around then. Knowing your players, knowing bodies, knowing, you know, what we know today is why we are doing what we're doing for players, which is probably more beneficial, you know, in respect of injuries, in respect of workloads, in respect of all those factors. But back then, yeah, it was the norm to have a separate, you know, to run, to be fit, and to be able to play football. That was the norm. Saying that, you know, we did actually do a lot of sessions that was physically based, possession basically, so, you know, bigger games like we do now, periodisation, bigger areas, smaller areas to get different outcomes fitness wise, and we did do that, but it wasn't made, you know, no one was aware of it. So I think all the things that we do now, I think it was done then, but it wasn't done to a real structure, if you know what I mean, with results that you could see.
You think it was done more through a type of instinct and intuition rather than a sit down, think about and justify while you're doing it? Because that seems to be what we're doing in coaching. Everything we do, we have to sit down, think about it and justify it.
Yeah, I think it was more intuitive then. I think back in the day, but when I was playing more so, it was a lot more players that were coaching, ex-players that were in the game, who had played the game, who sort of know, I suppose, what they felt when they trained, and those sessions that they got a lot of benefits from, they would add to the players that they were coaching at that time. So you had a bit of variety in what you were doing, for one. So yeah, you know, it's a bit of both, really. I think it was a lot of coaches sort of did what they liked and what they got benefits from, so they gave that to the boys that they were coaching at that time.
So as you progressed through the academy, was the training based more around individual technical training, or is it match-based practice?
It was a bit of both, really. I'd say it was more team, more team-based. When I was playing, especially coming through, and we were, you know, doing well in all the cups, and we didn't lose much, in all honesty. We didn't really play, and there was a whole variety of stuff, but like I said, there was no real titles or anything. It was just done. It was the norm to do it. Now we've got, you've got titles and everything. So we're getting educated as coaches, we go and I'm doing the advanced youth award in the moment. We're doing the psych corner. We've just come off the psych corner, and there's words that we're learning now that, were mind-boggling, but they still mean the same thing.
Yeah.
So it's just opened up everyone's minds to what we could possibly do to improve players, to make them better in a structured environment, if you like. But now we're even coming away from structure, and we say we need to create chaos for players. Everything's a little bit too structured. So, it's an interesting question. But it's, I'm developing as I go. I'm developing all the time as a coach. But coming back to the question, it was probably more team-based. It was more around the team. It was more around getting results.
So was it? So was there an emphasis on tactics as well?
As far as I can remember, I moved on to West Ham in 2000. Well, I was there for 3 years. I think only when we started, playing reserves and stuff, maybe a little bit more tactical. But we understood the game quite well. I think I think now players don't really understand the game, especially younger players. They understand the game less than what we did when we were their age. It's more about, like you said, the technical side of the game on individual, and then try and teach them the game as they get older.
Yeah.
Because we was always taught the game from a young age, especially tactically. We had that, we were natural at playing the game, I think, whereas now I think it's a little bit more bring up brilliant individuals and then put them within a system and try and teach them what you want them to do tactically as they get older. I don't know if it's beneficial or not. I don't know. I suppose you give up something when you try and create something else sometimes.
Mm. So how did you find out you were going to get promoted to the first team?
I was playing well. I was playing at the time. They had the structure of the under-19s league.
Yeah.
They had the reserves. So I was fortunate enough to play with the first team players when they were either injured, came back from injury, or we just had a strong team out because they weren't playing. I had the opportunity to play under-19s against very good teams. I was scoring a lot of goals, creating a lot of problems for opposition. Started training with the first team. So it wasn't just like you're in sort of thing. It was, training with the first team. So I was getting on with the first team, getting good comments off of the gaffer and Pat Rice and senior players. And then I've just got the opportunity to be involved with some of the Champions League games and the Cup games and just getting around the first team. So it wasn't really like I was just thrown in. I was there with the team training for a year. Not before, but I was training all the time and sort of had my foot in there while I was getting the option to sort of get pulled up or the opportunity to get. So it was, I knew I was sort of on the fringes of it because I was getting a lot of good comments from Don Howe, Don Given, Neil Anfield at the time and Pat Rice and all, liking what I was doing. I was training hard and, that opportunity came along.
If you're getting good comments off Don Howe, you know something's going right.
Well, yeah, like I say, it's fortunate to have been coached by Don for a couple of seasons. He was a great guy, a great coach, great man. Learned a lot from him as well. He was clear, precise. If you didn't do well, you knew about it. And if you did well, you knew about it. So I think that's a good quality to have as a coach.
So how old were you when you first started to coach?
I only started really coaching when I was about 28, 29 when I came back from Turkey after playing the Super League out there. I came back and I played for Shrewsbury, moved to Shrewsbury, and the option came along to start my UEFA B. It was my UEFA B at the time. I might have even been my level two. But anyway, so I started one of them, I can't remember. And I was coaching when I was done the Academy Boys at the time, over on the Astro in Shrewsbury. That was it. So at the age of 28, 29, really, I've been coaching since properly. I'd like to think I've covered sort of a range of ages from young and under sixes now right through to first team and now doing 18s at Orient. So what's that been, about 7 years now?
And what first got you interested in the coaching side of things?
I think it was just a normal transition. It was, I was playing, coming to a point where I was thinking, you know what, need to start thinking about what I'm going to be doing after playing football. And I've always had a good relationship with players, you know, at the team I've been at. I've always had a good relationship with youngsters, especially as well, you know. And it was just a natural progression, really.
Along your coaching journey, are there people who you think have really helped to guide you along this path?
I wouldn't say I've had people that's helped me guide me along the path. I've had coaches, you know, I've been at a few clubs. I've worked with a lot of managers. I've worked with, you know, foreign managers. I went on loan at a young age, at 19 years old. I went to Holland and played at Den Haag. I worked under Andre Hoekstra. I've worked under Sebastian Lazzaroni, who was like the Brazilian international assistant manager when they won the World Cup. I've worked under Vahid Halihodžić, who's Bosnian, who is now, I think, a World Cup. It was Ivory Coast manager not long ago. And the whole range of different coaches growing up and the senior level. And I think if there's anything that I've taken, I think it would be how to and how not to treat players. You know, I think that's the biggest quality I've got as a coach. And it's something that I will always have, eventually, hopefully, when I become a first team manager somewhere. I will always have that. I think it's one of them, you know, you have experiences in your on your journey as a player that maybe you take and you take forwards, and experiences that you've witnessed with coaches, and you say, you know, I wouldn't want to treat my players that way. So things like that really have helped me in my journey when it comes to coaching. But I wouldn't say no one's ever really pushed me into coaching and said, oh, you should do coaching or anything. No one really had that.
Of these managers and coaches that you've worked with, how much of what you did with them at a first team level has transferred into what you do with young players?
Like I say, there's lots of things that I've taken from managers that I would say that I wouldn't take into coaching players at senior level and at youth level. But there's so much, you know, especially tactically, I think. I've played in a variety of countries. I've played in Holland, like I said. I've played in Turkey. I've played here. I've played under different managers. And I've taken a little bit from all of them when it comes to what we've got success from. And I've tried to implement that tactically with players. And I think we've seen a lot of success from it. And in general, really, you know, like I say, I definitely take... For me, coaching is more... And managing is more about... managing the players and being on a level with the players that makes them relaxed. You know, players have to be relaxed. Players have to know the limit as well of where they can take you, and they have to know that there's the right time to be disciplined. Well, you should always be disciplined, but there's always, you know, they have to know they're in an environment where everything has a purpose, if you know what I mean, and there's a reason behind everything. And I feel that I take that. Any player that I'm coaching with, seeing even now when I'm orient, I get to take the boys that are not playing the first team. I just feel I have that. I'm on a level with them that, you know, makes them comfortable, and I think that's important. It's an important quality to have.
Would you say that part is becoming even more important now, because coaching, the way that modern coaching is looked at, and the way that we are educated, it's that what happens on the training pitch or even on the game day, that's only a part of it. There's a whole world around it.
Massively. I mean, we as coaches now, we work on the psych corner, the psychological corner and the social corner. It's a massive part of the game, and it's a massive part of players that has been sort of brushed aside for a long, long time. And it's important that we understand, like you say, that it's not just about what they're doing with their performance, with their feet. On the training pitch, there's so many other factors. You have to recognise when somebody's not feeling good. You have to recognise when somebody needs a little bit of guidance or needs a bit of help. Or you have to recognise when you have to create scenarios for them to get the best out of them. These things, yeah, it has. It's opened up a massive path for coaches to develop their coaching strategies, and it helps the players at the same time. But what we don't want to do is totally come away from the fact that, you know, hard work on the training ground is paramount to being a good footballer as well. You know, so you need that mix needs to stay consistent and equal.
Which which bit is harder? Do you find is it harder managing those that psych and sociological corners, or is it actually the technical and tactical side of things and your sessions?
I think it just depends on what player you've got, really. Because, like you say, you've got a wide variety of player. You know, some might be weak in the social and psych corner, some might be weak in the technical corner. So you have to make sure, or tactical. So you have to make sure that you cover, like I said, every corner equally to make sure that the whole group is getting what they need and being able to recognise it early and implement a suitable solution or structure to make sure that they're all being developed the right way. But it's a tough one, especially with, if you're looking at youth football now, especially with A-teams now, the PMA and all the feeling, EPPP, you know, they want players to be out on the pitch a certain amount of time, they want players to be getting the other corners for a certain amount, it's trying to fit everything in with good quality and good substance, which is important, which is really tough, especially for us coaches, because we're having to juggle certain things to make sure that we're covering every part. Sometimes you could possibly say that it's a little bit thin. You know, we just don't have enough time in the day or in the week to be able to do it all. But we are working hard towards trying to get it all right.
I'm sure a lot of people have heard of the EPPP and the Elite Performance Plan, but is it Plan or Programme?
Sorry, say again?
EPPP, is it Elite Player Performance Plan or Elite Player Performance Programme? It's Programme, isn't it?
I think it's Programme, yeah.
I'm sure most people will have heard of that, but I'm not sure that everyone will know what PMA is. I wonder if you could just briefly explain that.
The PMA is a system in which players have their reviews put on their match analysis, their schooling, their education, their attendance, session plans go on the PMA for the boys to look at, for other coaches to look at, for it to be vetted by the league to make sure that everything's being done properly. Basically, it's a catalogue. It's a log of everything that we're doing with the players, individual objectives, match objectives, team objectives, individual analysis, reviews, and just a whole log of what we're doing.
It's a really useful resource, and the FA have tried to almost mimic it with Hive, but it's very time consuming, I think. I've spoken to some coaches who, although they understand and appreciate it, resent it in many ways because it takes so much of their time that they think they can be using elsewhere and feel like they're almost having to do things three times.
Yeah. Well, it is the case probably with it. But like we say, there is a purpose to it. I think it's more difficult for the coaches who are not full-time, are part-time, that are coming in and earning whatever money they're earning, very little money they're earning, and having to do the PMA, having to make sure that all their sessions are ready to go, having to make sure they get all that. It's a lot of work that they're having to do for the money that they're earning. And I know we could say, you know, people are doing it for the love of the game, but that is something maybe that needs to be reviewed. What players, I mean, for us, it's not too bad. We're full-time coaches. We're working. Yes, we do work hard, but at least, you're working for suitable money, I suppose. But it is tough. There is a lot of work to do and to be done. But it's just part of the job.
Now, and the question could be, what do you want our coaches doing? Do you want our coaches sitting in front of laptops filling in forms, or do you want them out there coaching?
PMA is something that's done, especially for our part-time coaches, when they go home. You know, they finish their sessions, they go, it's not like they've got to sit around doing the PMA and they can't get on the training ground because of it. No, it's more time-consuming because it takes time out of their day. Basically, they're working still to do the PMA and not really getting paid to do it, if you know what I mean. But it's, I'd rather be out on the training, well, I am out on the training ground full-time. I get out on the training ground, it's not a massive deal, but don't know, maybe it's something that could be done in a different way, I'm not sure, but it's, I'm doing it, getting the tone, you get used to it, it becomes part of your everyday work.
And your day-to-day work is with which age group?
It's with the under-18s, but I'm also PDP, so professional development phase. So I deal with under-17s to under-21s.
You're players, getting ready for the first team?
Yeah, it's sort of like in that middle. So if we've got boys out on loan now, for instance, we've got three or four out on loan who are in between, but we don't have a 21s. We've only got an 18, so if they're not in the first team after 18, they're training, or they might train with the first team, or they might train with us, or we might get them out on loan, some range of fixtures for 17, 21 fixtures. So all that sort of stuff as well, having to deal with all of that, just the admin side of the game when it comes to trying to create more opportunities for development with that age range from 17 to 21. So yeah, it's a busy role, but it's something that I enjoy.
Many consider this age group now to be key. Before, we all talked about the golden age, with the 9 to 12 years old, but now everyone seems to be suggesting, well, the talent is there, it's when they hit this 17 to 21 that they fail to keep on. What sort of things are you doing to help your players actually make that leap?
Well, like I just said, we've gone from 17 to 18. In the scholarship, where we've got 2 years of basically development, full on development. We've got a lot of time with the boys. We've got a games program where they're playing games at FA Youth Cup and normal league games. So they've got that, they've got their individual objectives, and we try to create for them so they start to get an understanding of what they need as players themselves. So a little bit of ownership or self ownership, understanding what they need to work at, structured plans. We've got in place analysis to help them with seeing the game, because we know there's different sorts of different types of learners now, visual, audio, it's just so we are trying to cover every base, kinesthetic, whichever one you want to call it. We are trying to cover everything for them to be the best they can be, with the boys that are just old enough now, just come out of the youth team. We send them out on loan if we need to. So, like I said, we've got four boys playing at Ryman North, Ryman Prem, Conference South level. So they're getting experience playing against seasoned players who are old, playing against men. We're giving them the opportunity to play with the first team, where they bounce in and bounce out. Some of them have been on the bench this year. We've had six or seven involved with the first team. And on top of that, obviously, the education side of it is paramount, that we make sure that they, sports science, that they study, and they've got something to fall back on. So I think that we are trying to cover everything, but it's very important at the same time that, for me, I didn't feel I started really developing until I was 23 years old as a player, mentally, physically, psychologically, socially, all those factors. I thought when I got to 23, I moved abroad then. From West Ham, I went to Cambridge for a year, League One. And then after that, I scored about 20 goals that year. Now I moved abroad to Turkey, the Super League. I was out for 7 years. And I really didn't feel that until I got to that 23, I was really feeling like, I'm finally ready to compete, with these people. So 21s is a good age. Obviously, we've got under 23s now, haven't we, in general? So they are trying to give boys more time to develop. But then there's a problem where we're saying, is it competitive? Him enough for 23, so it's more like it's just a development game. There's no real kick to the games anymore either. We've got to just try and get it right best we can.
How hard is recruitment in the catchment area then? Do other clubs get first pick on the players?
Obviously, we've got clubs around us, you've got Tottenham, you've got Arsenal, you've got all these clubs, you've got Mill, even the clubs in the south of the water, like Millwall and people like that. But we actually, I think we get a lot of good players, we do have to sometimes play second fiddle to those clubs. And we end up having a look at those players that have been released down the line. From those clubs. But to be honest with you, most of the time when we've had a look at players, there's not been too much difference between the players that we've got. I think the difference is with the big boys is that there's two two or three or four players that make a difference within these squads or these teams. And in general, you know, we compete very well with these Cat 1s and Cat 2 teams. In general, we get a lot of players coming in. Our recruitment side of it is good. You know, we give boys opportunities, local teams to come in. We get teams in regularly on our training days, whether it be Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday or Thursday. Or even Friday, we play friendlies against teams that are doing well in the area. Or we think there's a player in the team that's doing well, we get them in, we play. And then we pitch them up against the boys we've already got. So there's always competition there. There's always a chance for people to come in. They get chances. They come in for 6-8 weeks, trials. Decisions are made. But I think in general, we've got a good sort of cycle of boys coming in. So it's not a closed shop at all. It's very open to, you know, it's our job as an academy, as a club, to try and find a group of players and make them better than what they are as well.
So on a personal level, what's the plan for the future? Are you hoping to get involved in academies at Premier League level, or do you want to get back into management? Or?
To be honest with you, I'm enjoying my time with these. We've got a great crop of 18s at the moment. We had the 16s last year, they've come into this year, 6 or 7 of them. We've got boys from the year before that are now second year scholars that are very strong. We started the season very well. I think we won 7-7. We might be 6-6, I'm not sure. I can't remember now. And they're good, honest, hard-working boys, and I'm enjoying my time at the club. I get on with all the staff above me, I get on with the staff below me. I think I'm working hard toward becoming, you know, a better coach, a better manager, hopefully one day. But who knows, if you're doing well, I suppose you get opportunities.
Yeah.
Eventually I do want to be a league manager. And try and be a top manager. That's my aspirations. That's what I'm working hard towards. I'm 37 now, so I've still got time to learn from people around me, people above me, and just want to keep working hard, basically, and that's what I'm looking to do.
So before you finish, do you want to plug your social media? Your Twitter, yeah.
If it helps out, I'm on Twitter. If anyone wants to follow me, it's fine. I'll put Instagram on there every now and then. It's been a joy to have the chat with you guys. I like to be able to talk about, you know, what we're doing and what I'm doing. And you guys are doing a great job as well on your show.
Oh, thank you. I'll put the link in the description so anyone can follow you. So I've really enjoyed speaking to you today. I'm sure Peter has as well.
You too.
And I'd love to have you on again in the future.
Thank you very much. That'd be great, yeah. Brilliant. Thanks, both of you.
Cheers.